Blog Talk Radio.
As always, we open up in the name of our Lord and Savior, Master Farad Muhammad. He is Jesus Christ. He is the Lord in person. And we forever give praise and thanks to our Savior and Redeemer for coming in our midst and raising up and leaving one amongst us who would be considered the greatest living sacrifice in the history of man and mankind. This is the last and most surely the greatest of the apostles, prophets, and messengers of God to ever live. We speak about none other than our leader, teacher, and guide for these final days of judgment, the most holy and humble, Elijah Muhammad. And we greet all of our listening and viewing audiences with the greetings of peace, love, and paradise in the original language of Arabic, which means peace be unto you. We say to you all in both their names with love, As-salamu alaykum. For those of you who may wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we'd like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We'd like to thank the thousands of you who listen live from around the globe and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites, be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com/Hiram1555, Facebook.com/Hiram1555, BlogTalkRadio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com and also formerly SalaamJournal.com and SalaamJournal.org, which is now the Hiram1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. Again, my beloved family, I say unto you all, As-salamu alaykum, and welcome to another edition of the most powerful show for truth anywhere on the face of planet Earth. This is the platform for black liberation mentally and spiritually and culturally. This is the voice of the voiceless and the voice of an entire nation. This is your show, the Star and Crescent Report, and our show today is titled White World Under Pressure. The pipe is about to burst. Now, as we look into the title of the name, it gives us an array of thoughts on what is transpiring economically, politically, geopolitically, nationally, internationally, whatever you want to see. This white man is under pressure. He is under pressure. His world is collapsing, and he's reverting back to the age-old trick that Yaqub taught him in his DNA, which is to divide and rule, divide and conquer. I'm going to address this, and then we'll go really into it. But there was a writing from some of the Eastern scholars, and they were saying that they were watching America, some of the strategists from Asia, and even a few from Central Europe. And they were watching America's plan, and they see how America is trying to use the divide and conquer technique between China and all of her trading partners, Russia and all of her trading partners, Iran and her trading partners. Because she sees that this is maybe the only way to stay off her doom just a little bit longer. So she's trying to entice Russia with promises. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, if this devil gains your trust, you are gone. And see, though Russia is comprised of a lot of devils, they also have a lot of Asians, because two-thirds of the nation of Russia resides in the body mass of Asia. So there's a lot of people who look Asian in Russia. So sometimes we don't totally categorize Russia as a Caucasian country. You know, there are a lot of men. You can believe that. But what I'm talking about is this. You see Trump with rosy promises to Vladimir Putin in Russia. This is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad talked about, and I'm going to share with you some things that we talk about behind closed doors. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, and this is something that you don't hear most people talking about because they didn't get this. But it's simple, but yet at the same time, without these insights, you cannot decipher or go through the geopolitical landscape properly. You can't understand why this and why that is happening. But Messenger Muhammad had taught us that in the end of America, in the end of the white man's world, wherever she resides, she tries her best to stay there. So Muhammad says that in the end of the white man's world, the two great powers, especially the two great powers, Russia and America, would seek peace. The nations of the world would seek peace in a time where it's looking like war. But the judgment has been set. So when you're looking at Vladimir Putin talking rosy scenarios with Donald Trump and vice versa, and you're saying that maybe there's a bit of cooperation, maybe this can go on, maybe this. Remember scripture. Remember prophecy. The judgment has been set, and the time for that is over. There was a time maybe they could have postponed it. There was a time maybe when they could have probably gotten along and done certain things. But both of them, national security interests are at stake. Both of them standing in the world is at stake. And God allowed this to get to this position so that they would not be able to yield to one another. And hence, if there's so much cooperation, right, then why did one of Donald Trump's first acts was to bomb people in Syria, bomb people in Yemen, the same people that Russia is trying to help or China is trying to help? Why? And why still under Donald Trump you see there's a great buildup? If things were changing, he should have stopped the deployment of troops and warplanes and weapons and missile systems and radars and defense systems in Europe. But it seems like it is building and gathering steam with the major military provocations and exercises in Russia. Why? Because the judgment has been set. You don't see it. They know it. Hence, they are putting their eggs in their military baskets for war. They're readying for war. They are telling you publicly that we're going to get along. We'll work together. We can join coalitions together. If this is the case, then why are all of you making military moves which contradicts your public statements against each other? Huh? The white world is under pressure, black man and black woman, and the pipe is about to burst because America, being the greatest and the most powerful of the white nations, she has ruled as a unrivaled hegemon. And she is not willing to yield one square inch of her empire willingly. Therefore, God goes to weaken her, to bring her down by degrees, to raise up the nations against her. And all of this is taking place in the backdrop of an economic crisis that is shredding the Caucasian world order. It is shredding the political order based upon Yaqub's doctrine of white supremacy. Kill the black and save the brown. Kill that baby and save the lighter baby. Isn't that what's going on around the world? America is steadily building up, and you probably didn't know this. America is steadily building up her armed forces in Africa. We told you that was going to happen years ago. And this is why they needed a tongue, a tool, a face for the empire, a black face for the empire, to mask the reoccupation and the recolonialization of Africa under AFRICOM. You understand what's going on? This is a war. This is a universal war, and this white man, this is especially the most wicked of them all, the American white man, is fighting for his survival. And he knows that everything is at stake. So he's no longer keeping it in the dark, he's moving into the light. And if you have something to say, he'll say, well, that black president deployed these troops. It wasn't us who overthrew the black independent-minded leaders in Africa. It was Barack Obama, the black man. It wasn't us who killed that black leader, Muammar Gaddafi. It was Barack Obama, that black man. See, they're using your black face to shield their madness. And this Tom took the position to be patted on his back. And now they have multiple military bases all across Africa, but they could not gain a foothold as long as Muammar Gaddafi was there because he stood against that. He had the financial and the political backing. He didn't have the military muscle, But he had the financial and political backing. So they had to demonize him and turn him into a tyrant. They made you believe that it was raining outside and you were sitting right outside in the sunshine. You're a fool. This is what this man can do to you. He is I call him Walt Disney. Because he can make you believe madness and you can see truth and ignore the truth for that madness because he's a propagandist. He'll turn you against your mother. You will have all the best credentials of your friend. And that white man will drop something out there and you'll say, huh, I knew he was like that. This is how he does. He uses your suspicion against one another. And you're always talking about forgiving him. And he drops a hint on somebody in your family or your friend or your brother or sister spiritually. And then the first thing you do is grab it, hook, line, and sinker, and you run with it. He knows you because he put himself in you. And he uses these weak points of you to expose you and to marginalize you as a people and to prevent you from understanding the time and that we're in a time unlike any other time before. As I said on the previous show, do you ever stop and think about why all of these things are taking place right here and right now? Do you ever stop to think about that? And the time frame in which they're happening. And if one would just take the time and ponder over the why, the when, the where, and the how, then you can connect dots and see that they understand, because they're seeing all of the ramifications of God's move against them, they understand the time. They know that their world is under pressure. The pipe is about to burst. This debt burden of the white man's world is one of the snares that God had laid at the very root of his civilization. And you know, if you have an attic, and you're steadily, and the attic has barriers to get money, to keep his high going, then he will do, after a while, he or she will do any and everything to get that high, right? This is America. America and the white world had become addicted to money printing. God took their restraint, he took their limitations off by forcing a move away from the gold standard. When America had built up so much debt, she had to remove herself. Nixon would not pay the gold. Nixon held everyone under military threat at this time. He sent the war criminal, his partner in crime, Henry Kissinger, to strike up deals, and the major deal that they struck up was with China so that they could recycle the dollar and keep the American empire going for a little bit of time. But they didn't know that God had already raised up counterweights and he was already putting in place the roadblocks to American imperialism. But they were drunk or inebriated off the fact that now we can print money in infinitum to fund our military machine and to continue our conquest globally and force everybody to obey us and live like us. What do they tell you? We're fighting for democracy 5,000 miles away. Huh? And their own constitution tells you that you're supposed to have the freedom of expression, freedom of religion, the freedom to choose, right? And then they go across the world and impose an American-style dictatorship or fascist system on people around the world. Those people don't have the right because they buck up against empire. You don't have the right because you are under the foot of empire, but the empire is in trouble. The debt burden and the growing list of nations who are fed up with America, fed up with double standards, fed up with white domination at every level of power internationally, is producing this steam that has no outlet. And you know, this water looks insignificant, but if you let water drop over time, it'll grind down a rock. It'll put a hole through a rock. Over the thousands and millions of years, it will put a hole through the rock. It does it by degrees. Now, this water looks insignificant, and you put it in this pipe, and it has no outlet, and the pipe is hot and continues to build up heat. That little insignificant water turns to steam, and that pressure from that steam, if there is no outlet, no release valve, looks indestructible, impregnable, will explode from the pressure of the heat in the water. Is that not right? Of course that is right. And I want to say this right now as we're doing the show. I'm looking. I see dozens of callers being dropped. This is what we have to go through. I know it. Keep your hand down. I know what's going on. At the beginning of the show, they dropped me twice, too. So I know what's going on. And then they blocked me, and then I got a message in my microphone, my headset, telling me that Blog Talk is experiencing problems. Please hang up and try the show again or what. This is what we go through. It is what it is. But brothers and sisters, this debt burden was laid at the very foundation. And so just like if you take an addict and you remove the barriers and the obstacles for them getting their dope, their crack, their morphine, their heroin, sooner or later they're going to become so high, so unrestrained, that they will become a detriment to themselves and their lives. And they'll be the very thing that kills them, right? Well, God removed the barriers. He removed the obstacles. He removed all of those things, those burdens on America and the Western world. And for decades, they lived gloriously, didn't they? By being able to do $600 billion a year in military expenditures. And this does not include the $600 or $700 million off budget or black budget expenses for military. And all of these so-called dark appropriation bills that if you put them all together would raise the military expenditure from $1 trillion to roughly $1.5 to $2 trillion. This is the stuff that doesn't get accounted for. But the empire must do these things because she's fallen. And she knows that if she falls, the whole world will move against her. If she slips up one time, the whole world is prepared to take her. This is not just isolated to America. God strikes up Europe too. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says that God will strike Europe also and feed her poverty also. And as America's falling, what are we seeing in Europe today? What is going on in Europe today? If you don't believe what's going on in Europe today, let the white man tell you. Because you don't believe me, you're from Missouri. You're from the Show Me State. But you don't believe wisdom or truth coming from your own kind. So we're going to let this man who is not your own kind tell you what's going on to him and his world. And you can see that Europe is not isolated from what's coming to America. Pay close attention.
Well, the latest unemployment figures for the European Union and the Eurozone show some 20 million people are without jobs. The data also shows a sharp rise in youth unemployment in several Eurozone nations, particularly in Greece, Spain, and Italy. Press TV's Jerome Hughes reports out of Brussels.
Millions of young people in the European Union face a very uncertain future, especially if they are living in the Eurozone. For example, in Greece, Spain, and Italy, 4 in every 10 young adults under the age of 25 are not in work or education. Data just published by the EU's statistical office, Eurostat, shows that there are 20 million unemployed people in the bloc, 3/4 of whom are in the Eurozone.
There is consensus amongst experts that the political fallout from the failure of EU leaders to deal with the Eurozone unemployment problem could bring the European Union down, as support for populist, Eurosceptic political parties in the bloc continues to galvanise.
We raised this point with members of the public in order to get their views.
If there will be a fall of the European Union, it will be a disaster not only for Europe, but also for our business partners, United States, the UK.
I think they didn't learn their lesson because they don't act since the Brexit. This was a kind of a sign to Europe. They are not satisfying the people.
They should spend money to create jobs, to give a basic facility to their citizens instead of selling arms, weapons.
Unemployment in the 19-country Eurozone is the main cause of poverty. There are high levels of homelessness and suicide. Education systems need to be reformed, particularly in the area of information and communications technology, or ICT.
38% of companies have difficulties in recruiting ICT specialists. We need to equip people with the right skills.
Youth groups say unless political leaders take positive action, the next generation will not need to manage the European Union because it won't exist. Jerome Hughes, Press TV, Brussels.
Do you not see the calamities? Do you not see what's taking place? And while all of this is taking place, you are turning your head. You're covering your eyes. You're covering your ears. You don't want to hear it. You don't want to see it. But this is the reality of the time, and especially the black man here in the Western Hemisphere, here in the hills of North America. He is seeing these things, yet he is still not trying to focus on them because he, one brother told me, brother, we don't want that gloom and doom. We want something real. This is real. You've got to understand what is taking place that you may be able to prepare you and your family for, so that you can save your life and the lives of your loved ones. So Muhammad says, the black man in America is now suffering under the falsehood of his enemies while truth is being sounded in his ears. He sees the evidence of it with his eyes, yet he would like it a lie. The main warning of the Holy Quran to those who take the truth for a lie and the lie for the truth is that they are subject to the same type of judgment that these former opponents of Allah were subject to. We are now witnessing the truth being spread all over the continent of America and jumping the borders and spreading around the earth. Allah is backing up his coming and his presence to defend the horrible plight of the American so-called Negro. Stop right there. What does economic chaos have to do with the black man in America and the black man and woman around the world? You have to understand politics. You have to understand geopolitics. You have to understand economics. Well, these same nations that are under the debt burden, that are imploding domestically due to the debt levels, Europe, you see what the guy said when he was talking about Europe, he specifically mentioned the UK and America. These two have gallivanted around the world, laying bases whatsoever they arrive at, and destabilizing nations. Now, military might. These two work hand in hand politically and militarily on the international level. And so does Europe. If you look at the council, we said there are four white. Four white. Now, isn't this ironic? There are four white Security Council members and one non-white. No people from the continent of Africa, no people from South America, from Central America, or from the Caribs. Just Europe and Asia. One Asian nation. And that was not, as I said on one show before, it was not even meant for China. They thought Chiang Kai-shek, a U.S. stooge, was going to come to power. So they gave him that. They gave China that seat. And Chiang Kai-shek was a Christian, and they wanted the whole council to be Christian nations under the dominion of American power and might. But Mao Zedong and his people upended that thought and those visions of grandeur, and that's how China of today has a power seat in the UN Security Council. But, again, you have four permanent members, and all of them reside from the Western world. Is that not ironic? Even you have Russia, you have France, you have Britain, you have America. Four nations, and three of them are major colonial powers who have occupied and dominated Africa. So without the military, without the financial component of this, if you are bogged down under a tremendous debt burden, you have to make some cuts somewhere. And as the people rise up in opposition because they're suffering all of these plights with the rise of inflation, the cut in nominal pay, the burden of more debt on top of more debt, publicly and privately, personally and government-owned. This makes the people rise up against governments and forces the government's hand to start making cuts in their war spending or go bankrupt. This is what we're seeing. So without the financial component, you cannot break the military back of the colonial powers. And without that, they would still be geopolitically relevant, but we see more and more today that they're becoming less and less geopolitically relevant as opposite powers or rising up militarily, such as China, such as Iran. We see these things, and America and Europe are having a hard time processing this thing because they have dominated the world scene for so long, and no longer can they force their will on the nations and to show you that they're losing power. Look at what's going on in Syria, right? This was a roadblock to white imperialism. This is to show you, and don't think this over, brothers and sisters, this thing is going to fester and fester, and it's going to explode in the Middle East and North African area. Hmm? And as I was saying earlier, I just realized the nation that Trump bombed. It was Yemen. He, one of his first orders was to bomb Yemen and Somalia. They left that one out. And Somalia. His first act was to bomb two Muslim black, most, listen to me good, those are black nations. I don't care what they tell you. Those are black nations. I know they don't put the black people on TV, but those are black nations. Isn't that ironic? So what we're looking at is desperation from the so-called global power, because they see that we are now in the ending game, the end stage of colonial might and colonial projection of power. Did you not see China flex its muscles? Every time America gets, China is so good at this thing, it makes my heart smile. When America starts doing the publicly threatening China, China smiles and takes it. And you say, why isn't China doing this and doing that? They have that. And China politely displays some new military equipment that America never knew about. The Chinese are not sitting still. They understand time. They understand prophecy. They know that there will be a war in the middle, in Asia. As a matter of fact, one of the top security advisors to Donald Trump says that it's leaning towards a war in Asia. We've been telling you that for years. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us that it's going to be there. But when this war takes place, China, look, America will never be the same after this war that takes place in Asia. China will run roughshod over America then. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. What is going on? It's the breaking of white people power internationally. What is going on is the breaking of Yaqub's world politically and economically. And the more wars they fight means the more funding that they must have, meaning the more they must borrow, meaning the more debt they go into, meaning that they can never extricate themselves out of the great debt burden that they have now been wound up in. Do you understand? This all relates to prophecy. This all relates to the breaking of their power and influence over you. White world under pressure. The pipe is about to burst. I hope that you get a thorough understanding, because God is after these people for the hell that they put on the backs of other people. You cannot, you know, some of us, we try to divorce ourselves from this reality. We may get a business, or we may get money, or we may become influential in certain realms of politics or media or something. And we try to divorce ourselves from the reality of what's going on with our people, and we try to distance ourselves from their suffering. So you hear, I moved up out of the hood, or I moved such and such. This is the mentality of us. Instead of building up your hood, you move away from it to distance yourself from the suffering of the people whom you got, who you were brought up with. This is that man, that white man's mentality. And you're scared to speak in certain manners against them because you're scared that you may lose customers, you may lose this, you may lose that. But this is bigger than you and I. And we cannot distance ourselves from this. Even look at Obama. Let me give you an example. With all that he did, to benefit white supremacy, to try to maintain America's toehold in Africa and around the world, white people still didn't like him. Still don't like him, right? Even though the alternative media said that he was a tool for George Soros and the Bilderbergs, right? They'll go right back when they're talking about him and forget to mention the Bilderbergs, and they'll put all the blame on him, right? Why? Because he's black. This is true. Brothers and sisters, when I'm saying these things, go back and read the articles and look at the videos. They're always doing this stuff. This is something that you overlook. Because they are against you governing. Because the sight of you governing, even if you are a puppet, especially America, the greatest pillar of the white world, is crashing. She's coming. Her market cannot withhold the burdens that it is trying to carry. Oh, where's my fall of America real quick? What does Elijah Muhammad say about this on page 18? Where's fall of America? Oh, here we are. Page 18, flip your books to page 18, fall of America. All right. Listen. Muhammad says, America's burden in trying to protect herself from the attacking nations of the world is tremendous. Stop right there. So she has spread war around the world. And you hear Donald Trump with his Muslim ban saying, this is not about religion. I'm just here to keep America safe. If you want to keep America safe, bring your troops from all over the world. Quit intervening in everybody's problems, in all the nation's domestic affairs. Deal with America and give reparations to those whom reparations are due, and let the ex-slave separate in a few of these states to himself. If you want to keep us safe, but as long as that is ignored, and that main component, the so-called ex-slaves, does not have independence and freedom indeed, America cannot be kept safe. Matter of fact, she's on knife's edge. Because this is the main demand that God gives to them. Go read the Bible. This is the you must give justice to those whom justice is due. And no amount of double talk, double speak, or hypocrisy will stop the ramifications of your ignorance or ignoring the truth of the time. Muhammad says, America's burden in trying to protect herself from the attacking nations of the world is tremendous. So this is why you have her in every continent on Earth. She knows that war is coming. She knows that she will suffer setbacks and in these little scrimmages. So she's preparing herself for the bigger battlefields because there will be many more wars. All of these wars are not separate wars, but they're all different aspects of the war of Armageddon. America knows this. So Muhammad writes, he says, America's burden. What burden, brothers and sisters? Ooh, she's trying to carry something that she can't carry. It's a load of something that she can't carry, and it's going to weigh her down. It's going to weigh empire down. It's going to weigh the republic down. As a matter of fact, you see it. You see the industry. You see the infrastructure. You see the medical system. All of it is in disarray. All of it is declining and degenerating. All right? So according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, the word burden means something that is carried, a load, duty, responsibility, something oppressive or worrisome, the bearing of a load, capacity of carrying cargo. So America's carrying something, and this burden she's trying to carry has weighted her down, and the empire is falling. What is the load that she's carrying? What is the burden that is on her back that she cannot shake off? She refuses to give justice to the people that she's mistreated for centuries. It is the same burden that Pharaoh tried to carry, but he was unable to carry the load, and it cost him not only his life, but it cost him his power, his influence, his riches, and his kingdom. The same thing is now taking place with America. So Muhammad goes further and says, a tremendous one that she will not be able to carry. Therefore, she must succumb. See, she's not going to be able to carry this burden forever. I don't care what the politicians and the leaders tell you before the cameras. Behind closed doors, they're biting their teeth because they cannot maintain this too long. Even the comptroller has said that America's burden, debt burden, is unsustainable. Muhammad says, I have a way to lighten your debt burden, but you gotta accept this the way it is. Give me and my people a few of these states because we have earned these states. Help us for the next 20 to 25 years to go for self, and that will alleviate the burden of trying to suppress and rule an entire people of 68 million of our kind. If you don't do that, you will suffer certain death. Right? This is Muhammad talking. And so this is the logical, this is the common sense way, but America has been stricken or smitten with madness, and she cannot see her way out of it. She can't even find a way out of a wet paper bag right now. So Muhammad Bible says she must succumb to the powerful forces that are coming against her. The word succumb means to yield to superior strength or force or overpowering appeal or desire, to be brought to an end as death by the effect of destructive or disruptive forces. This is what's going on. She's being brought to an end, to her death, by the effect of the disruptive forces of the economic plight, the domestic divide, the wealth divide, her military adventures around the world, and her political international hypocrisy that she has shown the entire world. She's suffering death by a thousand cuts. And you see why the white world is under pressure and the pipe is about to burst. She's under tremendous, tremendous pressure. So Muhammad says, the fall of a nation makes way for another. As the earth continues, all nations and their civilizations are limited upon it except the original nation, which takes on renewals or changes. Though in appearance, America seems steadfast. Don't we see her flexing her muscle in the South China Sea? Huh? Don't we see her overthrowing some allies of the BRIC nations in the South and Central American arena? Right? What is she doing? She's deploying troops in Africa, using false flag operations in Africa to destabilize governments over there. We see her all over in the Middle East. We see her deploying her military power in Europe. This is a message for Russia. This is a message to China. She must present herself as confident. She must present herself. See, because the world is used to America being the dominant power. So she knows that one chink in the armor, the people will see the weakness of America. So she continues. You say, well, why is she doing this? Bring the troops home. Maybe we can spend money here. You don't have money to spend. Your money is your bombs and your guns pointed at the head of other people that you threaten other nations that you're about to pour down on them if they don't buy your debt. So Muhammad says, though in appearance America seems steadfast, we will confront China and will not allow them to reach the islands that they have built. But Muhammad reassures us this. She is moving towards an ultimate end. So, in all of this that's going on, with all of this, see, Muhammad talked about the powerful forces on the outside. He talks about the nations, the change of nations. In this chapter, it's called The Dawn of a New Day. He talks about America's burden trying to protect itself from the attacking nations. Then he goes and says this. Though in appearance, America seems steadfast, she is moving towards an ultimate end. Now listen to this part right here. The most crucial and important part of this area right here. He transitions from the geopolitical and the military arena and says this. One great problem that must be solved in the fall of America is the liberation of the so-called American Negro, the lost found people of the original black nation of the earth. Now, he says, they have been here for four centuries, mistreated, and brought into a state of corruption and shame. They are now being helped, although they are as blind mentally as someone is physically. So when you don't understand why things are going on in the Middle East or Africa or Asia, you're blind mentally. But all of these things are taking place for you. You're blind. You can't see it. You're just as blind mentally as someone is physically. Hence, we have the Star and Crescent Report to take the blinders off and put you on some new pupils so that you can digest, dilate your pupils and see very well, okay? This is a very beautiful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad because we can prove his teachings. They're so easy to prove. And America knows this. She knows that she's on borrowed time, and she knows that trouble is brewing. And all while she's fighting enemies everywhere, her market are starting to tank at home, and she's becoming more and more desperate. I want you to listen to this clip here, okay?
News. Today on the market, we see that, well, we were above 20,000, now we're below 20,000, and we need to remember that the insiders, they understand what is happening. They've been selling their stock to retail investors, and we can see as we move forward throughout this year, most likely, the market will probably start to drop dramatically. I mean, many people and individuals are calling for this, and we can see the corporate media they are calling this Trump euphoria, making us feel like Trump is the one who caused all this for the market to go up. And we can see right now that they're getting prepared for this market to come down, because this is a classic bubble situation where the market goes up, they're telling you that good times are here again, and then the insiders start to sell hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars to retail investors who believe the market's going to continually move up. And then as the market comes down, those same insiders short the market and make a profit on both sides. But of course, the economy is completely separate and apart from all of this. And the economy right now is doing terribly. But we...
the economy is doing terribly. America's escapades around the world are doing terrible. And more she says she's winning this, but yet she continues to redeploy. If you're winning, why are you continually putting troops over there? Why are you continually adding weapons over there? Why are you continually provoking the nation? If you're winning, you don't need that. Right? She's not winning. She's losing. She's losing in every aspect of the great game. She's being outmaneuvered politically and geopolitically. Her economy is in a dire state. All one has to do is go to the store. I don't have to tell you this. Go to the store. The prices are outrageous, and they're becoming more outrageous. And the things that you used to could get for $1, $5, $10, you cannot get. This shows you that the power of the currency is dying. And without the dollar, the empire has no leverage. Without the dollar, the empire has no influence. Without the dollar, the empire cannot feed her own. So we go back to chapter 2 of Fall of America, Dawn of a New Day. We're going to read this, and we're going to read it in sections, because this has a lot to do with separation. This has a lot to do with your freedom. This has a lot. As he was talking, I was looking down there, and I said, we're going to stay right here for a few minutes. So Mama says, they are now being helped, although they are as blind mentally as someone is physically. He says, in all the preparations of the divine supreme being and the nation of righteousness to remove the enemy of God and the righteous from the earth, the poor so-called Negro cannot see it. So as we start explaining these things and we show you the connecting points, and we're connecting the dots to give you a clear picture, some of us can't process it because our thinking has been tampered with. Our mode of analyzing things have been interfered with by Yaqub's world, by his perception, by how he analyzes things. Therefore, we cannot get a full picture. But that's going to come out of you soon. Let's go. I want you to listen closely, all right, about this, getting us out of this situation, all right? And this goes back to what I always tell you. There must be a lot of events that take place to force the black man back to himself. There will not be a physical separation until this white man is fully exposed to view for all to see. And he is being exposed step by step. And as he becomes unhinged internationally, he's going to become unhinged domestically. And he's going to move against you in so many ways. And you're going to be forced to see. And that's why the messengers say, when these things take place, it's going to look like the black man woke up overnight. Hence, you talk about the dry bones. And all of when the dry bones stood up, you didn't see the toe trying to be the finger or the neck trying to be the pelvis. You didn't see that. All of them immediately took their place, and there was no rebellion in them anymore. But until then, there was much rebellion. But when these events took place, the winds of war took place, beating on them, the deprivation of food and water, and your loved ones, you had all the sense, all the knowledge, and you were the deep thinker, so you rejected this. So you had to be whooped. You had to be beaten. And once these things take place, nobody going to have to tell you to go stand in your position. You're going to run to it. So Muhammad goes further and he says, this is the problem to be solved. If it is to be solved, then how shall it be solved? So now he presents the problem. He asks the question, right? And then he goes and says, and what is the best method to use in the solution. Now he asks, he goes through a thought process here. He asks you a question. He asks you, if it is to be solved, then how can it be solved? And not just being solved with any makeshift solution. He says, and what is the best method to use in the solution? So what he wants is the best for you, right? So that you don't have to look for another solution. You don't have to go through this again. He wants you to have the best. So he goes and says this. It must be a solution that touches not only the enemy, but those who cleave to him while defying the wrath of Almighty God Allah. So the enemy's economic power is being broken. You are attracted to his world because you are afforded certain privileges if you live within that sphere of thinking. So you refuse to go to self. You refuse to unify with your kind. You refuse to forsake those who have abused, misused, and continue to oppress you and your people here in America and around the globe because you have some advantage in your position economically. So God goes against that, and he breaks that advantage. He breaks that pillar of power. He breaks that magnetic stranglehold or attraction that the devil has on you by removing the power that the devil has economically. And when the devil can no longer offer you this economically, you start having second thoughts. Well, think about some of you, to prove what I'm saying, think about some of you who had major jobs at these factories 10, 15 years ago. And you were making big money in the white man's society. And you were doing real good. And then out of the blue one day, they give you a pink slip. And some of you are struggling. And you realize that the struggle is real today that you didn't see yesterday when you were making $30, $40, $50 an hour. And you could not see or really fathom the suffering that is imposed on other people. But now that you're in a position that you can barely pay your bills or that certain things are going on, now you can see what the other one was going on. But you couldn't as long as you was on the other end of the spectrum. All right? That's what I'm talking about. This is what's got to happen. So listen closely. He says, it must be a solution that touches not only the enemy, but those who cleave to him while defying the wrath of Almighty Allah. Now listen, it is incumbent, says the Holy Quran, that Allah give life to this mentally dead so-called Negro. It is also made incumbent in the Bible where Ezekiel declares in his vision that all of the dry bones were resurrected. It didn't say some of them, excuse me. It said all. So when you're looking at these people walking with their pants sagging, smoking their weed, the women in these hot pants and hot dresses and these booty shorts, and you're looking at them and you say, look at these savages. And you cannot even process it. But remember, you were a savage one day too. You didn't wake up overnight. It took certain events in your life that forced you to a civilized thought, forced you into being a civilized man and woman. So it may take even greater forces to do them. But eventually, the entire people will come to this understanding. So all hope is not lost for you and I. If you don't focus on God's word, then you'll get impatient. You'll get hopeless. But God's promise is ever true. And it gives you peace and serenity in a time of turmoil and madness. Muhammad goes further and says, this does not refer so much to the word because the word has no effect on their resurrection. Why? And some people say, well, I'm getting them in the temple and I'm doing this. Listen, the time for a lot of that is over. The word has no effect in certain senses about this. Now these events must take place. There is a lead up to, which means that there was a time for doing X, Y, and Z, and then there was the events that took place that forced certain events or certain actions. Are you following me? I hope you're listening, because the white world is under intense pressure, and this pressure is affecting you. Remember what Muhammad said, it must be a solution that touches not only the enemy, but also him who cleaves to the enemy. So as this economic thing implodes, it'll touch you too. As the police force continues to flaunt so-called rights of black people, you'll see it. As the food sources and water sources start getting scarce, when the technology starts dying, and it's dying right now, you can pick Orange phones should be called dummy phones because of the way they act. We see it in degree. God is bringing them down. He is whipping them to show you that he has power over all things. But we go further, he says. Mama says, this does not refer so much to the word because the word has no effect on their resurrection. It literally took something more effective than the word. What could be more effective in this day and time? Listen to what he says. The winds that the prophets were to prophesy to represent wars, which will eventually bring harm and suffering to the rebellious rejecters of the truth. So these things must take place because the prophets had predicted them. And without you understanding the time, you can get things confused thinking that you must do X, Y, and Z when the time for it has passed or has not yet come. These events must take place in order for the dry bones to rise up, connected, and to be breathed life into. And they stood up an exceedingly great army. But before the winds of war beat on them, they were divided, doing their own thing. Right? Is that not right? So we go further. He says, salvation must come to those so-called Negroes. Everyone's eyes should be open. The time of the ending of this world is now and not yet to come, as you so foolishly think. Study your own Bible. It is there. The end is predicted and hidden in many places. But listen to this part, and we tell you this all the time on the show. Daniel, in the Bible, however, gives you a better knowledge of it than in any other place. And the Quran's prophecy is exact. Do not expect the 10 more years. The fall would be within the next few days. Muhammad writes that when he says days, sometimes he refers to years and years to days. This is theology. So, as we look at this, he says, go to Daniel. And look what happened to the people in Daniel. And look what took place in that time. So I want you all to commit yourselves to read the book of Daniel this week, okay? And therefore, and you'll get an understanding. And you'll see that we're in the 62nd week in the book of Daniel, meaning the 62nd year of that extension of 60 to not exceed 70-year grace period. And this is the time when God intervenes or could intervene. And now that God has come in person, look at what's going on in the white man's world. Right? It's being turned upside down the exact way that Daniel had prophesied it. You don't understand? Go read the book. So, Muhammad says this right here. He says, and this is the point I was trying to get to right here. The so-called Negroes must be stripped completely of the white man's way of life, his name and his religion, Christianity. Look. Now, why did I say that part there? It's because this is what the wars and the abuse and the violence and the deprivation of justice will do. You had faith. Think about how you had faith in this person so long, and then when certain events took place and it exposed that person to be a person that you had never known before. The same thing will happen. And then you give up all of those naive thoughts that you had about that person, right? The same is underway. All of these naive thoughts, all of these things, you just forsake. You're going to forsake them because you're going to see the real devil. You're going to see the real actions of these people. This is what is meant by the whipping of the wars against you. It will force you into the true reality. You're going to come out of Walt Disney World. The white man is telling you daily that his world is collapsing, that he can't hold on too much longer. He's telling you that he's in a fall. And if you don't understand it, I want you to listen closely to this right here. And I'll get you on the next side of the break, 424, so keep your hands up. I want you to listen close. This is a five-minute clip. Write your thing down so you don't forget, because I know it pertains to what we just went over. But I want to go to this real quick. This is about 5 minutes, and it's talking about the economic situation. This is what's going on. This is how God separates you from somebody whom you cleave to. Since you believe that he will always be able to take care of you and provide you a job and provide you with riches and provide you with this, provide you with that, and you you pay more attention to his world and building his and maintaining his world instead of looking towards your own, God removes those powers, those pillars that you're so used to having in that white man's world. And now America is entering a major, major economic crisis, a major depression. Listen closely to this.
Restart this system. We see Citigroup right now. Well, they are dumping their mortgage business. Citigroup says,
I want to go back to something real quick. I want to say something to you real quick. Brothers and sisters, when you're listening to this show, what I'm asking you to do is not take my word just because I'm saying something. I'm asking you to ponder over what I'm saying. Read, study, put what I'm saying on a scale of facts. Look at what's going on in your life and around the world. Weigh these things and make an educated decision, because this is the day of decision. This is so crucial. I had to stop the clip because this is so crucial today, because we might not have the Star and Crescent Report this week or next week or week after next, because there will come a time when they're going to shut it off. You see them cutting you off there. You see them blocking me from doing the show. But your life depends on this, and you've got to be more astute when it comes to trying to find ways to preserve your life and your family's life. Don't take what Gregory Mannarino or all them saying, because they're only giving you part of what God is saying. They're only telling you this now because they see their world in trouble. But we've been echoing these things for years. We've been telling you the same thing about what's going to happen to their world. You didn't like it, so you chose to ignore it. So now God is forcing this reality upon you. You know? I mean, if you don't believe that the white man is in trouble, listen to this. I'm going to go to another clip, and then we'll come back to the clip I played. This is a four-minute clip. I want you to listen how they're talking about their real economy. Listen close to this.
And we'll have to see how that turns out later on. Here in the United States, what do we see? Well, we're starting to see that the people who are believing the hype in the corporate media, where they're out there saying that the economy seems positive, we get all these soft surveys about confidence and everything else saying that everything is fantastic, everyone's confidence is up. So people are out there spending a lot more money than they actually have. Now, it really started before Trump was even president, because this is the ninth straight month in a row where people are continually spending, and they're spending a lot more than they're actually bringing in. That means they're charging a lot of this stuff. And what we're seeing is that for the ninth month in a row, spending is rising and savings, well, that's falling. And we can see at this point that people are going to be are caught up right now in this frenzy of everything's going to be okay. And when we really look at the economy, and we've been looking at it for quite a while, we've been looking at GDP, we know those are completely fake, phony, and false. We know the GDP numbers are below 0% in the negative range, -1%, -2%, that area. We also understand that housing is declining, retail is in major contraction, and I know that there are a lot of corporations who have been talking to Trump saying that we're going to be bringing jobs back to the United States. But when we look at this, how could this be possible in this type of economy? Well, it'd be very, very difficult, because they're laying off at the same exact time, and everything is contracting at the same exact time, which means that they're planning for something afterwards. Starbucks is out there saying that they're planning to hire about 10,000 refugees over a five-year period. And again, does that help everyone today? No, it really does not. When we look at all these companies who are saying they're going to be building manufacturing plants, hiring people, does that help people right now? No. So we need to look at this and say, okay, when is this going to occur? Because we're seeing more and more companies continually lay off. Fitbit, well, their sales, they're dropping. They're laying off about 110 employees, about 6% of their workforce. And things are not going great there. We see in the U.S. auto industry, well, it looks like the bubble is about to burst. Despite record U.S. auto sales last year, the number of vehicles on car dealer lots remains near record highs.
J.D. Power analysis, Tom King, warned 2016 ended with an inventory bubble that will require less production or more incentives to clear it. And the number of vehicles which are sitting in dealer lots is about 3.9 million vehicles. This is problematic. About one-third of inventory were older model year vehicles. And what this means is, in the past, when things were not manipulated, there was less than a quarter of these type of cars on the lot. So we have new cars coming in, and this is going to be a problem. Now, Trump, he's out there and he's pressuring the auto industry to bring back more jobs, more manufacturing, have more production. But right now, the sales don't call for it. And again, this is a major problem. In this economy, where it's built up on illusion, on manipulation, on complete dishonesty, it is very difficult to restart the system. The system needs to be cleared first. It needs to be cleared of all this debt. It needs to be cleared of all this dishonesty, of these manipulated numbers. And until we do that, it's going to be very, very difficult to restart this system.
See, they want to restart. The problem with these people are they know that the system is corrupt, inherently corrupt. They know that it's designed to enrich some while oppressing others. Now, who are the some that have been enriched since the system came to be? And who are the ones who have been oppressed since the system came to be? Remember, the system benefited, especially the American and British system, benefited from free labor for hundreds of years. Made them into economic juggernauts and military superpowers. And yet they still deprive you of justice here in a domestic capacity. But yet we're all Americans when they want you to fight on the battle lines of someone that has not called you a nigger publicly. There's so much pressure put upon the white man's world. They're going to be forced to let you go, the same as Pharaoh. Pharaoh wouldn't willingly let Moses and the ex-slaves go. I'll give them this, and I'll let them do that. I might add a few rights to them, but I can't let them go. God said, Moses, don't worry about this. I'm going to work on him, and I'm going to bring him down by degrees. And when I'm done with him, you're not going to have to. This last time, I remember reading in the Bible, God told Moses, this last time you're not going to have to ask. You just go get prepared and do this and tell them this, give them these instructions. When I'm done with this, he's going to let you go. We're in a similar position. The breaking of their power internationally, the breaking of their power domestically, and the removing of that boot on the black man here in America's neck is underway. It's a beautiful time to be a follower of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Let me go to the phone line real quick, and then I got to go back and hit something that I heard him say in this clip. So let's go 424. You're on the Star and Crescent Report with your cyberspace family. I say unto you, assalamu alaikum.
Well, assalam, sir. Brother, you got it on
overdrive. How you doing, my brother?
This morning. I'm doing fine. All praise is due to Allah. You got it in overdrive this morning, black man.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, brother.
Yes, sir, brother. Yes, sir. I wanted to point out something to you, brother, in your listening audience in reference to Donald Trump's recent ban on these countries, the seven country Muslim countries. There was an article that came out of Global Research in 2007 that former General Wesley Clark, retired four-star U.S. Army general, supreme allied commander of NATO during the 1999 war on Yugoslavia. He says, and the headline says, we're going to take out seven countries in 5 years, Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and Iran. Isn't it ironic that countries that recent Donald Trump just recently banned here in America, it says it is worth noting that six out of the seven countries, with the exception of Lebanon, identified by General Wesley Clark, this is the article, to be taken out are now the object of President Trump's ban on Muslim entry to the U.S., Iraq, Syria, Somalia, Libya, Sudan, Iran, and Yemen. Now, this was in 2007. Segue to 2017, these countries are still on America's hit list under Donald Trump. Now, if Donald Trump is claiming to make America great again, then how is he continuing the same course of the previous administration of the same countries that Barack Obama has been bombing, and now he's continuing in bombing? Okay, now also, brother, I want to read some of Messenger Elijah Muhammad's writings, which you spoke of earlier, about our people, so you can get back to your lecture. Anyway, brother, Messenger says, they must be warned, regardless to what type of people they are, they may be. They must know the truth, yet shall know the truth that has been a prophet among them, Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 5. The black people in America must be warned of all the people of God, and all the people of God were warned the same. They are terrible people. They are dangerous people, as the prophet is warned, Ezekiel chapter 2, 6. Be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. They speak stout words, disgraceful words, against the truth and the truth bearer. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 6, continue. Be not afraid of their words. Though briers and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they may be a rebellious house, nation. It is the black man in America who is described here in this scripture. This is what he is. He is like scorpions where the messenger of God, prophet, is. This is a terrible thing, but you have proof of it here. He, the messenger, is warned that he is living with people who are like a scorpion. A scorpion will sting and he will bite. A scorpion will do both. Be not afraid of their words. They are always planning and saying evil and anonymous things against the messenger. They look like they are very dangerous, but the messenger is not to be afraid of their looks. The messenger must speak the words of God to them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 7. The messenger is warning you. Here is what God said to him. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 8 tells the messenger not to be rebellious like that rebellious house people. Open your mouth and eat that I give thee. What the mouth of the Lord give thee, Ezekiel. The messenger saw his mission coming to him in the role of a book, Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 10. And he spread it before me, and it is written within and without. And there was written there in lamentation and mourning and woe that went along with the book. The messenger's mission here in Ezekiel chapter 2 and 3 is similar to the mission given to the messenger in the revelation of John, which refers to the bitterness and the sweetness, the good and the bad of his mission. In Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 5, God makes it clear to the messenger, thou art not sent to a people of strange speech and of an hard language, but to the house of Israel, to your own people, meaning the black man here in America. Thank you, brother. Continue on with your outstanding speaking, brother, and your teaching. May Allah be with you. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. Thank you, my brother. Now, brothers and sisters, what I'm teaching you is written in Scripture, you see. Everything that I'm saying to you is right there in Scripture. And we're connecting these dots and we're showing you the time. Now, Dave from the X-22 report was talking about the horrible situation facing America. The economic plight is just unbelievable. Yet you still believe that you have a future. But since I'm seeing that the time is winding down, if I don't get to everything, would you please give me an extension of about 10 or 15 minutes if I need so? Because I don't want to leave this half done. I want to do this, and we do this the right way, okay? So with this being said, I told you that Allah was after America. She's number one on his hit list, his list for destruction. America is number one. You notice whenever you look at Bloomberg, or you look at CNBC, or you look at all these people, they often talk about America's situation, but then they'll say, and Zero Hedge is good at this too. This shows you how the white man will give you something, and then he'll twist it up. They'll say, America's in trouble with this and this, and then they'll say, well, if we can do this, we can get out of this. But then when they talk about China, they'll say, China has all of this hidden debt, then it's going to blow up, and it'll destroy the communist nation. Well, yeah, China has some debt, but like with Japan, a lot of the Chinese debt is held by China, by Chinese people, unlike America's debt, which is held by foreigners. There's a big difference here. And also, China has other leverage. They have huge copper and silver and gold reserves, which when the prices were low, they were buying them up, and they're still buying them. China is buying gold rapidly through Hong Kong and not registering it in China. So if the dollar tanks, they have something to cover their losses. China has $3 or $4 trillion in currency reserves. Now, America is the greatest debtor nation in the history of the world. That goes over 78 trillion years. Yet they give America a gleam of hope, and China is done. China is the lender to America, and China is done, but America can rebound. Do you see how crazy these people have become? How they'll twist up facts and truth to justify their madness? That's crazy, black man. I just tell you, if you don't watch this man, he'll twist you up, but he's a serpent. He's a snake. And you know snakes leave crooked trails. That's the only way that they can move. They have to slither. And when they're done, you'll see a crooked trail. They cannot go straight up. They cannot leave a straight line. They cannot measure themselves according to truth. They must lie. All praise is due to Allah for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I want you to listen to the other clip that I was playing. This is a 5-minute clip. Maybe we'll get some of them done. Listen closely.
Restart this system. We see Citigroup right now. Well, they are dumping their mortgage business. Citigroup says it would sell its mortgage servicing rights on about 780,000 Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac loans of non-Citibank retail customers to New Residential Mortgage. The remaining city-owned loans and other mortgage services rights not sold to NRZ are expected to be transferred to loan servicing provider Cenlar FSB. And they're trying to get completely out of the mortgage business by 2018, which should tell you something. We have major problems in the housing market. Things are deteriorating very rapidly, and the banks, well, they're jumping ship. They're protecting themselves. And what we're seeing right now is that there are clear indicators that the U.S. economy is slipping into a depression. And when we look at these indicators, we can see that things are not going well whatsoever. When we look at GDP, we know GDP is below 0%, -1%, -2%. Credit card company Capital One reported a 30% increase in charge-off year over year. Goldman Sachs has confirmed that U.S. auto demand, well, it's peaked and now it's declining. And we can see that by the number of cars on the lots. The insider sell-buy ratio hit 59 to 1, meaning insiders are dumping 59 shares for every one share they buy. Tax revenues are showing a marked collapse in taxes collected. Put it simply, it is evident from all of this and many other indicators that we are heading into a major depression scenario. And, of course, the media buzz is out there saying that U.S. GDP of 5% is just around the corner. How possibly can we hit 5% when we couldn't even hit 3%? Actually, if we go back to what the IMF predicted over time, year after year after year, they told us we're going to be hitting 3.5% almost every single year. And then they downgraded it throughout the year. And when we look back at each year, we couldn't really get over 2%. We were in the 1% range. So when they talk about how great things are going to get, how can they get better? They can't. Not while retail is contracting. Not while we have this debt. Not while people are unemployed. And it's not 10,000 people unemployed. It's not 50,000 people unemployed. It's not 100,000 that are unemployed. It's 93 million people. That's how many jobs we're going to have to create to get the ball rolling. Even if we created 150,000 jobs right now, it's not going to help because the debt continually rises. We'll see what Trump does come March. Most likely he'll raise the debt ceiling because otherwise the government won't be able to pay anything. Now, if that does happen, guess what? The debt continually moves up and up and up and up. They can't stop it. And this is why It's either we continue on this path or we say, okay, that's it. We need to go bankrupt here. We need to wipe out all this debt. We need to reset everything. And I believe this is what is being planned at this point. Because we can see that we cannot continue on with this. Even Trump's budget director is out there saying that this debt is unsustainable. It just won't work. I know, and we can see that Trump is cutting the government. He's going to be laying off quite a number of people. And the EPA, I think, is about 7,500 people they might let go. And there's going to be a lot of others in government that are going to be let go. But this still will not be enough. Because the debt continually rises. We're trillions and trillions into debt. The tax revenue is continually declining. And it's becoming harder and harder to pay for this debt. And if interest rates move up just a little bit, that's it. We're done. So right now, we can see that we're in a situation where we're heading into this depression. And remember, depressions are to reset everything. Now, who's going to bring this into this depression? Is it going to be Trump or the elite? Are they going to crash the system and try to restart it the way they want? Or is Trump going to beat them to it and bring the system down? Of course, when that does happen, the corporate media is going to play it up that Trump just completely destroyed the economy. But it seems that he doesn't care about that. It seems like he's ready to handle that because his skills are bankruptcy. His skills are a default. But we'll have to see how this does play out. But whatever happens, we're heading towards an economic collapse. And everyone needs to be prepared and ready for what is.
See, they're warning. They see what's coming. Now, there's a few things I will address up in there. He said his skills, Trump's skills, are bankruptcy. Yeah, because he had so many of them. He was bailed out by the government himself. But as I told you on one show before, Mr. Engdahl had said, F. William Engdahl had enlightened me and told that Trump is the face of gangsterism. And he, that's all he does. He's a cover for gangsterism from the Zionists and those Bilderbergs and Rockefellers. And if he was a threat to them from day one, he would have been found with a bullet hole in his head. This is what was conveyed to me. So we'll address that on the other side, but because we're getting to it, and you guys, I know it's 7 minutes, but I think I'm going to need an extra 10 or 15 minutes from you guys so that we can lay this out. And please do not answer your phone and do not click over. You know how this goes with Blog Talk Radio, okay? So with that being said, about the economy is about to collapse. And America keeps talking. She puts your eyes over there. The Eurozone is imploding. Yes, it is. China is mired in debt. Yes, it is. But your major creditors are in Asia. Japan. Japan will be forced to sell that debt. Japan holds a lot of debt of the U.S. And think about this. Japan is in a position where they're accumulating more debt from the government, their debt. And yet they have to do this because they continue to accumulate U.S. debt. They're put in a position where they're going to have to drop one or the other. And we know that it's a fight-or-flight situation there. When it becomes too unbearable, they're going to drop U.S. debt. Same with South Korea, China. Allah will force them to. I think Russia holds about $300-some billion in U.S. debt. All of these nations are going to either willingly or unwillingly drop U.S. debt, crashing the dollar, crashing the system soon. And this devil says reset. We need a reset. The problem is you want to be the head of the reset. This the reset or global economic reset or restart is changing worlds. They're trying to get you through wordplay. It means to change something up. As a matter of fact, let's go to the dictionary. According to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, the word reset means to set again or anew, to change the reading of often to zero. So what they're telling us is that this word that you see now will soon be changed to what? Zero, right? And something else new will begin. Well, if you have the same leaders, the same governments, the same people who have ruled and dictated in the old, how can they produce a new? Because their mind is still with the old, and how they can maintain power. How can they maintain wealth? So there must be something that removes that. As a matter of fact, while we're talking on it, Muhammad, I think he speaks about that in Message to the Black Man. Let's go to Message to the Black Man. It's 265, I believe. Okay? 265 it is. The message says, there is no doubt in anyone's mind today that the condition of the nations is such that needs a ruler who is not involved in the present world of corruption to bring about peace and goodwill among the people of the earth. So, Muhammad tells us that everybody is longing for something, right? Now, listen to what he says. There cannot be peace for the lovers who seek after peace until the peacebreaker has been removed from authority and the activities of mischief-making, causing bloodshed, grief, sorrow, and trouble amongst the peace-loving nations is done. There is not a civilized government of people at this writing that is not in trouble and trying to find a solution to the cause. All the nations of the earth are so corrupt with other than good that they cannot come to any agreement on peace with each other than carry it into practice. Now, they're longing for change, but the people who maintains the system, who runs the system, they want to be the head of something new. If that is allowed, then there's no need for a change, right? If that's the case, there's no need for change. There's no need for judgment. So in their admitting of a reset or a change of worlds, change of systems, you're going to have change of rulers. Is that not right? For something more just, something more equitable, something more true and endurable, you must have new leaders with new minds and new thoughts to produce a new world and a new body of government of freedom, justice, and equality, and unlimited progress. Is that not right? Of course it is. And this is why the white world is under pressure. They understand that the pipe is about to burst. They understand that they're under the burden of God. They understand that God is now in person and he is bringing them to their knees. They understand this. It is you who have been baptized in the way of Yaqub that really don't process this. And while we're on these subjects and while going back to the situation at hand with the nations, I also did some articles about that this year, last year, and all the way dating back to early 2000 about what Wesley Clark had to say about that, but the way he portrays it as though he's innocent in all of this. When he tells it to you, he tells it as though he just ran up on this, and that's not the case. Because if you remember, Wesley Clark wanted to start World War III. He wanted to bomb when Russia was at its weakest state after the fall of the Soviet Union. And a little bit after that, America started bombing what was then Yugoslavia and balkanized it, right? And they started bombing Serbia. And after America and NATO had started balkanizing Yugoslavia, Russia, to the surprise of America, because they thought the Russian military was just depleted, had went into Kosovo and went into certain parts of Yugoslavia, which was their Slavic brothers. And what they did, they posted military personnel there. And Wesley Clark gave an order to the British general, I think his name was Sir Michael Jackson, I believe that's his name, Sir Michael Jackson. Seriously, I'm not making this up. Go Google it. He gave the order to the British general to bomb Russian forces, and the British general refused. He said, I'm not going to be responsible for causing World War III. So we have to get old things. So Mr. Wesley Clark, he's not all innocent in all of this. He also was an intelligence agent. He also was the NATO Supreme Allied Commander. Okay? But what Brother Gerald is telling you is exactly right. And it's no wonder. Iran is on the hit list. Syria was supposed to be a warm-up. Libya was supposed to be a warm-up. Because they wanted to take Iran out. If they have Afghanistan taken out. If they have Iran taken out. Both China and Russia's underbelly, strategic underbelly, would be fully exposed and controlled by America. And they can balkanize Russia, so they think, and go in there and take up all the vast resources and dismantle the nuclear weapons. And they can encircle China and prevent China from using their economic or political or cheerleader, the one who was gay in college, when he was in office. He and his associates in office, especially war criminal Dick Cheney, vice president, said real men don't go to Syria. Real men go to Tehran, the capital of Iran, meaning that they were, the ultimate goal was to take out Iran. And hence you have Flynn, one of President Trump's advisors. What is his name? Flynn? I forget his name. I think that's his name. Yeah, Flynn. Matter of fact, let me pull it up real quick on the screen. This is what he says. A top U.S. advisor to U.S. President Donald Trump says the country has put Tehran on notice over Iran's missile program. Think about that. America is testing space missiles, space rockets, satellites, jammers, satellites, nuclear bombs. Matter of fact, a few days ago, they had a mock-up test of dropping nuclear bombs, you didn't know that, right, on cities in America. Did you know that? They had the missiles, they just detonated dummy warheads. But you didn't know that, huh? They are preparing for war. So, you can test bombs. You can have an arsenal of 1,500 nuclear weapons, 2,000 nuclear weapons, 5,000 nuclear weapons. But you're telling me Iran can't test a missile? A top advisor to U.S. President Donald Trump says the country has put Tehran on notice over Iran's missile program. We are officially putting Iran on notice, says White House National Security Advisor Michael Flynn in a statement Wednesday. Flynn repeated the U.S. claims that ballistic missile tests violate U.N. Security Council resolutions. And this man is crazy as hell. I'm telling you. You see, this is the mind state of these people. I can have the missiles, but it's a threat to security and peace and stability if you get one. I can have warships, but you have violated international law. Why don't they say about Israel, Israel has violated every international statute that was written against it since its inception and since it was brought into being by America and Great Britain. They continue to flaunt U.S. law, but they're not sanctioning Israel. They're only after black and Muslim nations, nations that they feel a threat to, right? This is the white man's mind. I can test missiles, I can have all the weaponry. I can supply weapons to all of my so-called allies. But don't you supply one rock or a slingshot to that person over there, because we view them and we deem them as a threat. To hell with what you view and deem. If they're my allies, that's my brother, I'm going to fight like hell to defend my brother, and I would expect the same thing from him or her. But the mind state of the devil, we have a NATO alliance, the North Atlantic Terrorist Organization. They are willing to defend themselves, right? But they don't want you to have a defense mechanism. The madness. Now, they're the ones spreading war, but they don't want you to have anything to rebut their war or rebuff their war or to mount a counteroffensive against them. They want to pour bombs on your cities, but they want a ballistic missile shield to protect them from threats other places. Excuse me. Now, if you ain't bombing nobody, if you're not on these military escapades, why would somebody attack you? Huh? Do you see the brothers and sisters? You have to process this mind of this devil. This devil is something. He is a megalomaniac, a sociopath. And he believes that his views are right and he can justify anything and make you believe all types of madness. I'm serious. Give me a few more minutes. Okay, time is at hand. Brothers and sisters, I still ask for those 10 or 15 minutes. I was talking about Iran, and I'm talking about the situation at hand. And America is trying to get up into Russia's and China's underbelly. She knows time. She knows time. And she knows that she's making a last-ditch effort. She thought she could do it with just Afghanistan, but she couldn't do it, so now she's making that ditch for Iran. Iran is the title, is what they want. And then they would have China and Russia encircled with all of these military bases, with all of these war bases, with all of these missile bases and air defense and radars. And they would believe that they could beat prophecy by doing that, by suppressing China's rise and stopping Russia and balkanizing her. This is her greatest goal. They're even trying to tokenize China with this Free Tibet movement and all of this other stuff. This is the way the white man does this thing. But Iran specifically, because Iran is the major power in the Middle East, and Iran has hydrocarbons for days, I'm telling you. And they're moving away from the dollar. And as a matter of fact, let us look at this. This is a 6.5-minute clip here, and then we'll go to a 4-minute clip, and then we have a couple more clips. I probably won't play. We have so many clips here. What I'll probably do is save part of this for the next show, and we'll refresh our memories on the next show. Okay, I'll probably play this clip here, and we'll analyze it, and then because I feel your patience here. But I want you to listen to this 6.5-minute clip here about Iran.
Bombshell news. The Central Bank of Iran is announcing that they will be dumping the U.S. dollar in all foreign exchange. If they proceed with this act, it will hit a major blow to the U.S. as yet another country engaging in trade without the reserve currency. They wouldn't be the first country to suggest using a different currency other than the U.S. dollar. Iraq and Libya also had this idea, though their fate seemed to quickly take a turn for the worse immediately afterward. Coincidence? You came here for the truth, so let me unveil that for you. Let's get into this news today about Iran suggesting they will dump the U.S. dollar. Let's get right into it. Iran to dump the U.S. dollar in response to Trump's travel ban. I do believe that this isn't exactly true, but the announcement comes right after. They have already been sort of trying to wean themselves off of the U.S. dollar, more so than a country like China, which is definitely more heavily invested in the U.S., but we have seen Iran over the last few years anyway start to do trade with other countries not using the U.S. dollar, but things are still priced in that. So it's important to note that when you decide to go away from the reserve currency, obviously reserve currency is being very important, then you decide to basically hit a big blow on that country. Tehran plans to ditch the use of the American currency in financial reporting after the U.S. President Donald Trump issued a travel ban on 7 countries, including Iran. According to Press TV, the Central Bank of Iran is seeking to replace the dollar with a new common foreign currency or use a basket of currencies in all official financial and foreign exchange reports. So they are suggesting using, perhaps, as it's, you know, there's been talk anyway, maybe we're going to use the euro, or maybe it's going to be a basket of currencies. And you could have, obviously, the euro being part of that basket. And they're just suggesting going their own way. They don't want to deal with the U.S. dollar. And at some point, they need to pull the trigger. This will take effect March 21st. That's the new year over there. So they're suggesting going ahead as planned on that day. We'll see if it actually happens. But it is very, very important. After Trump's election, the Iranian rial saw a record lows against the U.S. dollar. On December 27th, it plunged to its all-time low of 41,000 to the dollar. All right, important to note here. The head of the central bank said the U.S. did not have a significant role in Iranian trade and could be replaced with currencies of Iran's key partners, like the European Union, China, and the United Arab Emirates. They've already, at the bottom it says here, they've already have agreements with Russia, Turkey, Azerbaijan, and Iraq to use national currencies in the local trade. As I've said, they've already made many steps towards doing themselves away with the U.S. dollar. It's important to note this, because when you see countries exchanging into the reserve currency, that currency automatically becomes strong. It keeps that stronghold it has. And this has been going on, obviously, for decades and decades.
The petrodollar is obviously very, very important, and whenever a country suggests going another route, it is, number one, ridiculed, it is, you know, pushed aside, but if it actually goes ahead and does it, begins making those proceedings to do so, to fully get away, then it's in big trouble. This happened, as I've said, twice before. Look at this. Iraq nets handsome profits by dumping the dollar for the euro. Now, this right here is the money GPS investigation that you don't get other places. You hear a lot of talk, you hear a lot of opinion, but here it is, very simply, the historical analysis. This was February 2003. A bizarre political statement by Saddam Hussein, who, by the way, spoke fluent English, just thought I would let you know, has earned Iraq a windfall of hundreds of millions of euros. In October 2000, Iraq insisted on dumping the US dollar, the currency of the enemy, for the more multilateral euro. And it basically goes on to say how they've done well since dumping it. Okay, fine. A 30% increase in the euro, by the way, that they got in a short period of time. A few years. 30% increase, that is very significant. All right, remember that date. The 15th of February, 2003. What else happened in 2003? Well, can't help but remember this day. March 19th, 2003. The war in Iraq begins. 1 month later, that they've posted their profits saying we are doing so well since dumping this euro. And what do they get out of it? An invasion. And Saddam Hussein was overthrown, the country completely obliterated, even worse than what it was prior, even though just prior to this invasion, I mean, it wasn't long before that, when the U.S. and Iraq were partners, doing deals together, working together against Iran. Then we move into this.
So, what you heard is that a month after Saddam Hussein announced that he was switching to the euro, And the guy misspoke when he said dumping the euro. He meant dumping the dollar. When Saddam, and I told you this on the show, Saddam had a windfall of profits I'm talking about tens of billions of dollars within a month, of switching from the dollar-denominated system to the euro. And the first thing that America did, check this out, if they were fighting to find his weapons of mass destruction, then why did the first thing they do was secure the oil fields? Because Saddam said, before you come, I'm going to burn all the oil fields, make sure there's no oil for you to get. So the first thing they did was secure the oil fields. The second thing they did after deposing Saddam was to, even though it cost Iraq hundreds of billions of dollars in losses, they switched. America did this. No government did this. America did this. Switched the currency back to the dollar, causing a sharp fall in the economy that was already devastated by a war that America has waged on it, causing them to be destitute and bankrupt and to rely on Western handouts up till this day. This same thing, Libya had no debt. Libya was not in the control of the Western bankers. Libya wanted to use the wealth to start a united African republic, or the USA, the United States of Africa, and he wanted to bag the currency and call it a gold dinar. When he came publicly with it, France, which was the spearhead to this, but America was the planner behind this. Why those two there? Because France had too much to lose. That's why France pushed it so much. And America had too much to lose. Because if Gaddafi would have done that, it would have switched the geopolitical and economic reality overnight. Europe would have been destitute, so would the Western world, because Europe has little to no resources to bag any currency. They're already mounted in debt, so is America. So what happened was they bombed, and they just wasn't satisfied with bombing. They were out to kill Gaddafi. They didn't want him to even be alive. So they murdered the brother to show this as a sign to other people. And France had so much to lose because, whether you know this or not, Gaddafi had gotten a lot of the former French colonial states in Africa to sign on to this agreement. And when this was going to go live, all of them were going to shun the franc. These colonies still use the franc, even though France itself doesn't use it. Or something. Well, I tell you, these colonial powers. And this would have devastated the French economy. That's why I keep telling you, Europe is a succubus. The Western world are parasitic by nature, sucking the resources and the labor and the life's blood out of Africa and Asia and Central and South America and the Caribs. They're under pressure, tremendous pressure, and the pipe is about to burst. So, with that being said, brothers and sisters, you know what time it is? It is time that you buck up. It is time that you man up, woman up. It is time that you recognize the truth that is being taught to you. Accept this truth for what it is and put it in your life as a guiding principle in stone that will see you through the hard times that are underway. We have part two coming of The White World Under Pressure. Brothers and sisters, with an undying love and passion for the upliftment, the redemption, the liberation, and the freedom of 68 million of our kind first here in America, and then the billions around the world, always know that your little brother Rashid Muhammad loves you to life. But my love pales in comparison to the love that God, who has come in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, his messenger, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and that mighty, mighty, mighty Nation of Islam has for you. And if you get a chance, go to the Highlands 1555 blog, read the articles. If you get a chance, donate. We love you. Until we next meet again, stay safe, stay true, but above all, stay righteous. Assalamu alaikum.